Lord. We are standing on holy ground there.
Amen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When we have holy ground here, we have holy ground at home, and we have holy ground just about anywhere we can step. Amen. We can make it a holy place.
Yeah.
As the Bible tells us, where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst.
Amen.
Amen. What a tremendous blessing that we can worship and fellowship. Any of you guys ever been to Jerusalem before?
No.
Anybody want to go?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
That's home for me.
Right? I can't wait to go to New Jerusalem. I'll tell you that much. But boy, it would be a great blessing to be able to go to see Jerusalem and see all of that out there. But guess what? We don't have to go to Mount Zion to worship.
Mm-hmm.
We can worship him right here. You know, the Samaritans had their mountain to worship the Lord in. The Jews have their mountain to worship the Lord in. We have a place that we can worship the Lord right here, right now. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I am so excited to know that our Father, our Heavenly Father, is looking for those that would worship him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
And that would worship him in all places, everywhere in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So I just want to encourage you guys today with the Word of God. We're going to go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And this encouragement is an encouragement that has come to me. First off, and I'm just so grateful that the Lord has done that for me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin to read his word. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you because of your goodness and your grace towards us. And I thank you that we can worship you together, oh Lord, as a family ought to. And Lord, I do say family. I don't want to take that lightly. These are my brothers and sisters. These are those that are my mothers and my fathers. These are the body of Christ, the believers. I ask, oh Lord God, today, that as we look into your word, that as we look at the things that are before us, that we would put you foremost in our hearts. And that we would remember to do so, not just here, but that we could do that in every place that we go. Oh Lord, help us to draw nigh unto you. I thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. So, here we're in James chapter 4. Let's take a look at verse 8 really quickly together. The Word of God says here, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. This statement is a very powerful statement, drawing closely to the Lord our God, understanding that he is our source. He is where we go to plug in and to charge up. He is where we go to get understanding and wisdom. As we said in our Sunday school class this morning with the youth, that basic instruction before leaving earth. I remember Pastor Tito used to say that all the time, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember those words. I love the idea. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Reminding me that every bit of what I'm looking at here is applicable to my life. And even if in this world there are things that are not mentioned, like the word computer, the word cell phone, okay, social media is not mentioned in the Bible, but did you know that the Bible tells us how to handle all of these things as well? We need to realize that every single aspect of life is not a coincidence to the Lord. God knows all things. He's seen all these things before we even were born. And he understands how each and every piece of it works. We are his creation. So when it's called for us to draw nigh unto him, the idea is to remember that he is the one that sustains us. In him we live and move and have our being. As even some people that didn't know God said in their songs. But I'd like to look at here today, my dear brothers and sisters, is just a way that we can focus in on understanding we need to draw nigh unto God, we need to draw closer, and why we have that before us. I don't know if you guys get to watch the news much at all or read anything in the newspapers, but in the last month or so, we've seen a whole bunch of different things. In the last few years, we've seen a bunch. In the city of Rochester, they have declared that last year, by this time, and even into March and April, almost every month, they said that violence has gone up way more than it's ever been. In a society where there's been a call to defund the police and get rid of them, violence is going up. We have seen an increase in suicides among young people and all over the place. People are literally dropping dead. And folks have no explanation for why. I mean, we can talk about many different things, but yet, when we look at all of these things, we have to understand that there is an increase in violence. There is an increase in pestilence. There is an increase of evil and wickedness throughout this land. But the question that we have before us as believers is why? And why do I say we as believers? Because the world is trying to figure it out. And where do they get the instruction on how to handle all of these things? Is anybody in here knows, or has anybody known anybody that has lost a loved one recently? And you being a believer, what have you done? What hope do you give them? If you know the truth, why argue about everything else? Give them the truth. You see, in our day, we need to stand for the good news. We take a look out there and we read the news station, and the news is giving their spin on so many different things. They have their thoughts and their ideas and their ways. But yet, if we were to go to the good news, which, what's another word for the good news? The gospel. The gospel message of Jesus Christ. If we were to turn right back there, we could point this world to something that is greater and bigger than what they could ever imagine. For in the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is hope, there is life, there is peace. Many things that this world is missing out on right now. I'm not saying that we ought to turn away from looking at the news. It'd be good to know what's going on. But just keep in mind that they have their own ideas. They have their own bias. But what does the Bible say about all of these things? I sent out an email a few weeks back, I believe, sharing with some folks an article in News 10 talking about the increase in violence that's been going on in the city of Rochester. Recently, I think this past week, there was a raid that the police and so on did not too far from, I believe, where you live, Pastor Tito. Pastor Jose and I, in the summer, we spent the time going with this organization that was talking about, what do we do about the violence that's going on? And the real and true answer that we have is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, how does that help somebody get fed? If somebody knows the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have it into your own heart to reach out and to help that person that needs to be fed. If somebody knows the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have it inside of you with the gospel, with the Holy Spirit. You have the understanding of how to stop violence. It starts right there in your home, within your family, within your community, within the people that are around you. But only through the gospel, the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It truly is the only answer. James points out a few questions here, and we want to take a look at that. But one of his summaries that he has here is we need to walk humbly before the Lord. Because brothers and sisters, how many of you forget sometimes? We forget about God. I don't mean that we say, who is God? No, we act and do things that show that we've forgotten that God is there with us. We say things out of the flesh because we just go right after what we've been exercising so much more than the other. So what we ought to turn to is humbling ourselves before the mighty hand of God. And that's what that drawing nigh unto the Lord is.
Amen.
It's a humility. So let's look first at the issue, the problem at hand. In James chapter 4, look at verses 1 through 3. He says, From whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that you war in your members? Ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and ye receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Brothers and sisters, my dear friends, listen. What is the root of all the evil and the things that are present there before us? Well, one simple word. Lust. Now, let me tell you this. We often think that lust always has to do with the sexual nature. Not so. We can lust after food that somebody else has. There's some people that lust after somebody else's sneakers and they'll go and kill them so that they can steal their sneakers. Okay? That, all it's talking about is a deep down emotion that comes from the innermost part of your belly that makes you and urges you to go and do these evil and dark dastardly deeds. And it can be anything. But those are just a few examples. Lust is a thing that really drives many people in this world. So the opposite of that, we would say, would be love. If we can learn to love the Lord, then we can learn true love. But yet the issue that we see before us is this same thing of lust. In the Ten Commandments, the word lust isn't mentioned there, but you know what it is? Covetousness.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it's the same thing. Just we understand this word lust to be something that comes deep down from inside of somebody. And when somebody is coveting something, it means I want what you've got. And I don't care how I'm going to get it. You know, a brother's telling me that somebody broke into their car and stole their stuff. He said, and stole the Bible too. Hey, praise God. He stole the Bible. Sometimes I've in the past left my door unlocked on purpose just to see. Maybe somebody might go in and take the radio. They might just take whatever's in there. They might take the Bible too. That'd be great as long as you read it. Amen. People do some crazy things. Why? Typically because of covetousness, because of lust, because of selfishness. We're thinking about me, myself, and I. But yet, brothers and sisters, when James is writing this, who is he writing it to? The lost world? Nope. He's writing it to believers. Where comes wars and fighting from among you? We ought not to be warring and fighting against each other. Hence one of the reasons why we're talking about building community and family. Doing different things to remember that, hey, you have a brother or sister sitting right in these same pews here. How often is it that we get to see each other during the week or even get to pick up the phone and call each other during the week?
know I'm guilty too. Right? I used to have a culture of just stopping over to folks' houses. And some people today be like, no, don't do that. I might not be home. So what? Of course you might not be home. It's very obvious and apparent. But you have to think about this. If you're not able to entertain, just say, I can't entertain at the moment. But I'm so glad that you came. Because if I come, it's because I care. Think about it. We care for one another. When in Acts chapter 2, as we've been studying through that there, when as soon as the gospel came and they were their minds were open and cleared, they started sharing everything. They spent time together. They didn't look for excuses to leave and to be away from people. I understand. We do have different characters. We do have different things. And there are times we do need to be alone. But be alone in the Lord. Jesus very often stepped away, especially after doing big things like feeding 5,000 people, doing a miracle like that, and talking for so long with so many people, he stepped away and spent time with God to recharge. He's been interrupted from time to time, but yet he took his time to step away. That's okay. Do that. But I need me time. Where is that in the Bible? Your me time should be, I'm recharging in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you're just sitting there having nothing to do with the word, having nothing to do with growing in the Lord, it doesn't do anything for you. It actually harms you more. Because the more that we turn in and look to ourselves, the less that we see the Lord. We have to think about this stuff. Do you think that God just said it all willy-nilly that, oh, forsake not yourself the assemblings of yourselves together, as the manner of some is? Because he knew that, man, I need you. He knew that I need my sister here. We need each other. And it becomes more apparent when more pressure from the outside comes.
Right.
Once persecution comes, we will understand how much we need each other. But because we have very little to no persecution, we'll fight and bicker against each other. Man, who cares? Who in the world cares? All these little things that we fuss and fight about. What does that have to do with the big picture? You offended me. Okay, but I've offended people too. Right? I may offend you now. Huh? You know, forgive me if I offend you, but listen. This is the word. We are made to be together. And we wonder why we ask certain things of the Lord. Look at James 4:3. You ask and you receive not. Why? Oh, man, you know, you ask amiss. Why are you asking amiss? Because it's all to fulfill the lust of your own self. We don't have the right perspective because we haven't put on the right glasses so that we can see clearly. Glasses are crooked. I look like the Nutty Professor. You know, this is what we ought to do, is to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. Look at the next verses here, verses 4 and 5. This is what he's calling them. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Do you think that? Again, we often think of the sexual nature when we think of the word adultery. But yet God uses it in the Old Testament because his people went after other gods.
Right.
That is the greatest adulterous sin that we can commit. Because we are sinning against God. And all that means is this, that I prefer everything else over my God. In Genesis chapter 4, let's go there really quick. We often wonder the story between these two brothers.
why would somebody be so bold as to raise a hand against his own fellow man, his own brother, his own flesh and blood? Abel gives his offering, but look at verse 5. It says, But unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Well, you see, these two brothers came and they gave an offering unto the Lord, and God accepted one, but he didn't accept the other one, and here the brother gets upset. Instead of trying to say, can I make this right? How can I make this right? What ought I to do, Lord? He gets upset and angry. In his anger, in the lust of it, he kills his brother. I mean, it's insane. But yet, from that builds up even more and more and more. Sin is a cancer. And what it does is it keeps grabbing for more and more and more. If sin takes you and makes you think of yourself, it'll pull you into a fit of depression. It'll pull you into a place that you don't want to be, and that may be very difficult to get back up from, because we need each other. Yeah, I may have a truck and say, well, you know, I'm moving from this place to the other. I've got my own truck. I'm just going to move. But why in the world would I not call up my brothers here in the church and say, hey, I've got to move some stuff. Can you help? A brother is born for adversity. Let's do this. You know? Why is it that, you know, it's okay for us to have private prayers, but why is it that we don't want to even bring up some of the smallest things to our brothers and sisters? That could be a conversation too. Man, I can't find my keys. Right? Can you pray for me? Well, we laugh, but it could be something. I've got to get to this place right now, and I can't find my keys. And we frantically are like, what do we do? And when you take the time and stop and pray, doesn't the Lord give you a calmness? Doesn't the Lord help you out? And then you find out that they were in your pocket the whole time. I've had that before. Glasses, that's another thing too. I've had my glasses on my face, over my eyes, walking around my apartment like, where in the world are my glasses? It's like, come on. I need to be able to see clearly so I can find the glasses that are on my face. You see, this brother here started to get offended, and we see what happened. He comes and he kills his own flesh and blood. He killed his brother. And then he says, am I my brother's keeper? It's like you're back-talking the Lord. What? How do you back-talk God? Oh, my goodness. If my mom and my dad wouldn't let me back-talk them, what makes you think that the Lord should let us back-talk him? But yet he takes so much. Oh, man. The Lord is not mocked. Please don't get confused with all of that. Okay, back to James chapter 4. So, here, we see where our heart is before the Lord. Okay? There's wickedness that's there. There are things that we love more than what we love the Lord, that we ought not to let that be. Here's the problem. 2 Timothy 3:2 says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. That's interesting. We talked about being honoring your mother and your father today, right? Disobeying your parents is in that list of all these different things. There it has been a rise of that. As a matter of fact, the prophet Malachi talks about the difference between the parents and the children, and how the children will want to kill their parents. Crazy. I mean, if you think it in your heart, Jesus says that you've done it already. I've never committed murder. Well, have you thought about it? You ever told somebody you hate them?
Oh my goodness. I did that once with my sister. We were pretty young. I was almost Joanna and Rosalie's age there. And we were playing, and she just made me so mad, man. Oh my goodness. She did something, and I was like hurt physically and emotionally. Everything all mixed up in one big old ball. So I just looked at her and said, I hate you. I was like, ooh, ooh, man. And I think I bit her hand too. It was a vicious little so man, at least at that point. But after all of that, I started crying. She was crying, man. This is my older sister too, which now could whoop me from here to the back room there. But she was crying too, and I started crying because I'm like, what in the world did I do? This is crazy. I can't believe I did that. And you would think that you're crying because you knew your mama and your daddy was going to give you a spanking, right? Right? Wouldn't you be crying because, oh no, I'm going to get it. It doesn't matter. There was only two of us, but it didn't matter that it's her word against mine, because they definitely would believe her. And you know what? I had to go to my parents and tell them, this is exactly what I did. I still got it. I got it. But I learned a great lesson that was even greater. That I didn't hate my sister. My sister and I today have a really good and strong relationship. You know, it's a great blessing. But over the years, man, that was something. I never want to do that again. Brothers and sisters, this is the attitude that we have to have before the Lord, humbling ourselves and drawing close to Him. It's the only way that we can do it. It's very hard sometimes to come and to confess the things that you've done to somebody, you know? Or if you've offended somebody, please forgive me. Those words are way better than I'm sorry, by the way. It's much more biblical to say, please forgive me. Why? Because many times I'm sorry, it's like I got off the hook. But please forgive me is now we're trying to interact. I'm trying to restore my relationship with you. Will you please forgive me? Yes, I can. So much more of a sweet blessing because you have gained your brother in doing so. Man, so much. The other side of that, Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. This also is said to believers. This also is said to us as Christian people. Jesus Christ did that. How do we know? I mean, he walked and went to the cross because he was thinking of you and I. He knew the times that we would mess up. He knew the times that we would maybe even use his name in vain. Huh? A lot of times we think that using his name in vain only means cursing. Nope. Using his name in vain means exactly that. It's vanity. Oh, praise God. Do you really mean that? Jesus. In some cultures we said Jesus. But do you really mean that? Do you know who he is? To be using his name in such a manner? Or are you really calling out to him for help and strength? You see here, let's not try to strive and fight against each other, but let's be humble in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Look, I know that you're smarter than me, JJ, but please, 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 let's work together, brother. No, he's a great kid. He is a great young man. I'm sorry, you're not a kid or a child. He's a young man. Brothers, we may have people that we think are underneath us because we have more education, we've got more experience, we've got this, that, or the other thing. But the Bible tells us to do the exact opposite of what we tend to do. We tend to, but what Jesus says is, this is what Jesus did. God came down to earth and he starts washing people's feet. The God that created us comes and washes our feet. look, my wife says I got Quasimodo going on, and I don't, you know, it's like Jesus coming, he wants to wash my little stinky feet. Why would he do something like that? He's given us an example to esteem others greater than ourselves. We're falling into grave danger, brothers and sisters. And that word vainglory that we see, the word vainglory means an inordinate pride in yourself or your own achievements. How often do we lift up ourselves? And the Proverbs tells us to let another man's word praise us. We ought not to be trying to lift up ourselves. How often is it that we think of our way before we think of somebody else that has a need? I go back to my father-in-law tells stories of his dad that owned a grocery store. And some people may look back and say, man, he was horrible at managing and managing money. Possibly. Kind of reminds me of the story in the, what is that Christmas movie that comes on every year? It's a Wonderful Life, right? What he wanted to do was he wanted to help people. So during a time when it was hard for everybody, he may not have been making a whole lot of money. His family was fed, but he also made sure that their neighbors' families were fed too. People would come and they would say, I don't have anything. I need some food. And he'd be like, go ahead, take some food from his store where he's trying to make money. We're in business to make money, right? Mm-hmm. Or are we in business to honor God? Mm-hmm. He would take and say, take even more. And yet, his children are not in debt. They're not carrying over something that he built up over the years. God honored that. My friends, we ought to think of others before ourselves. We ought not to hold on to this high status, high look at of ourselves. I mean, honestly, I am nothing. John, writing in John chapter 3, said that he must be exalted and I must be diminished. I need to bring myself down. I need to be humbled. And guess what? If I don't humble myself, then some experience in my life will humble me. Guaranteed. There's always a thing of playing sports, and basketball was one. And I remember, because you threw out New York State and you got the boys in Buffalo, New York, and all of a sudden you got them New York City kids coming, and they're like, yeah, we're a lot better than what you are. And these other guys, yeah, we're better than what you are. The honest truth is that no matter how good you are at what you do, there's always going to be somebody that you'll find that can do it better than you. Mm-hmm. No matter how good of a shot you are, there's always somebody that's better. No matter how strong you are, there's always somebody that's stronger. So why not be humble? You may be the greatest of your time at the moment, but yet you're not always going to have that same strength. You're not always going to have that same vigor that you've had in the past. And God is above all things. So listen, you remember in our country after 9/11, remember during 9/11, we that were here, what happened? Wasn't there a great call for prayer there? Mm-hmm. Yeah? And people started to pray and said that they were talking to God. But not too long after that, they came up with slogans like, these colors don't run. Sounds great, patriotic, but yet, honoring to God? I don't know. It's crazy how you listen to C-SPAN and some of these other things, and they talk about the economic problems that we have. And one thing that could have helped them out, that years ago we placed right on our notes there, the American dollar is a note, okay? It says, in God we trust. I mean, any thinking person understands that you can't just print money off without some kind of collateral to back it up. But you still have to trust God for all of it. Mm-hmm. even us. We don't run the country as that. We have representatives that do that. But yet, we ourselves need to realize that in God we ought to trust. We put our trust in Him. So another piece of this, my friends, is the things that we say and the things that we do. 1 Peter 4:11. If a man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him minister, or let him do it as the abilities which God given, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. So the things that we say should, and the things that we do should be there so that God gets the glory. David, King David, after many mess-ups, turns and says that he wants to honor God and glorify God in the congregation. By the way, if he's the king, the congregation is before all the people. Amen. What a great testimony to hear. Pastor Tito was invited to go and to preach a funeral service for people that he works with. After all the things that's going through your mind, brother, and in your heart, you're kind of like, oh, man. And then to see how the Lord flips it upside down and turns, it's just like, wow, this is amazing. Because God gives you the opportunity through something that you thought was just like, oh, to actually share the gospel to your coworkers. We need to be praying for that. Amen. Got an opportunity as part of culture. Our young sister Annalise is going to be having a quinceañera. Mm-hmm. And she asked me to speak for it. Mike, all right, praise the Lord. You know? And even her dad was kind of like, I really want to have that aspect of it. Well, yes, I know that could be more of a cultural idea of things, mm-hmm. but yet God yes. will be honored and glorified in it. That's what we're seeking to do. Amen. So would you pray with us? Friends, this whole idea is to draw close to God, draw closer and get intimate with Him. If this thing of lust is the thing that drives us and puts our mindsets in this world, it just points it back to us all the time. And I don't know about you, but I don't like thinking about myself all the time. I mean, we may think that we do, but just think about what results from all those things. It's misery. I don't have this. Oh, I need to get this right. Oh, I got this test coming. I'm going to do this thing. Oh, this thing I'm going to fail. Oh, I don't have enough strength for this. I'm insufficient. Oh, man, all these things that goes through our minds. Guys, it would be a whole lot easier if we look unto Him. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But you don't know, these problems are just way bigger than what I have. How many of you guys knew that Jesus was homeless? Mm-hmm. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. Foxes have holes and birds have their nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Jesus spent his ministry time homeless. That is a thought. How much money did he have? Was he rich? He was kind of broke. But yet he had everything that he needed. He said, we need to pay taxes. Go over to that fish right there. Pull the money out. There you go. What? What a tremendous thing this is to see that Jesus Christ, as the book of Hebrews explains to us, that he truly did go through the things that we went through, that he's felt the same pains that we feel. Do you think that he doesn't know what you're going through right now? He knows. But the bigger thing, my friends, is that he cares. He does care. And he gave us a support system called the church, the body of Christ. I know often we're afraid of what people are going to say because of this, that, and the other thing. It's like, yes, Sin is dirty, sin is crazy, but yet get it out of the way and let's follow the Lord. Because we ought to be here not for a big judging party, because we can do that. We can judge one another, judge each other to death. But yet, praise God when we encourage one another, amen? That's such a sweet blessing. You know, I'm glad that we are going to be doing more things like that. And I remember some of my early experiences and even my experiences of coming back here is the love and the family that I've felt amongst here, the people at Bible Baptist Temple. It's just been a great blessing for a long time that I've remembered it for many years, even going out to Albany, New York, you know, being back in Buffalo, New York. I remember the love that you guys have had for me and that you've had for one another. So I want to encourage you in the same. Keep following that same love. Keep following that same pattern. Amen. We want our hearts to be led in the way of the Lord. Remember, John tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, if we love this world, and we love ourselves so much, it's very hard for us to look up to see that this one needs a hand, and this one needs some encouraging, and this one over here just needs to see your smile. You didn't know that that's a great blessing too? Our young folks that are here, you know, you may think, well, how much is it that we do? And I don't want you to get into more, honestly. Get into serving food, get into, you know, greeting people at the doors and smiling, because y'all faces are so nice and smiley and stuff sometimes. It's just a blessing. It really is. You ever walked into a place and seen somebody smiling and just like, oh, wow, this is refreshing, you know? It's like going to McDonald's in the hood. Can I take your order? Versus going to Chick-fil-A. Hello, how may I help you? Because, I mean, they actually train them and teach them that you need to be polite and cordial to people. You ever been that one? It's like, can I help you? No, we ain't got none of that. No, we ain't got none of that neither. Okay. I've had crazy experiences like that, but we ought not to be that side. We got to be on the side of, hey, let me honor and glorify the Lord with the things that I say and do. Please, let my speech be as the oracles of God. Let's draw nigh unto him. Finally, here in verses 6 through 8, in James 4. But he giveth more grace, whereunto he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So you got to think of that, friends. When we are so self-absorbed, we become very proud. And this is one of the reasons why God isn't hearing our prayers. It doesn't answer them the way that we ought, that we want them to. Because we are being very proud. And he says he resists the proud. But he gives grace to who? The humble. The humble. He wants us to humble ourselves. He wants us to have that broken and contrite spirit. I'm satisfied, Lord. I really don't need much more than what I've got. And that type of attitude comes when we're not looking inwardly, but we're looking outwardly at the Lord first. And then we see everything else. I love these parts, these scriptures. You know, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me in Philippians, right? But then in John, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. Remember in John 15, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, you know, the things that he does, we can bear much fruit in him. But yet, that's in him. It's conditional, my friends. Follow the Lord. Draw close to him. It's like when I was in college, I wasn't necessarily the smartest person there, but I found one of the smartest people and studied with them. Right? Doesn't that make sense?
Yes.
Don't you think that that's wisdom?
Yes.
When you're playing a sport and you have the option to choose, you find the person that is the best and you choose their team. Doesn't that make sense?
Yes.
I mean, do you look for the guy that's frumpy dumpy and is like, hey, I can't even lift up my arms to throw the ball? No, you don't. You look for the one that, hey, that kid is an athlete. He knows what he's doing. He looks like he's got some skills. You guys go out and do that, the golf tournaments and such, you know? You try to find the guy that could play. And boy, don't ever take me, because I definitely can't play. But if I was going to go, I'd look for people that I knew played. I'm not going to be like, hey, let's grab four of my friends that we've never swung a golf club before, and let's just go for it here. You know, we're going to do this. No. So we ought not to do the same thing with the Lord. We need to seek him first, put him in first place. We need to draw close to him. Remember the story with Mary and Martha. So sweet. You've got both of them. Jesus is in the house, and one is in the back preparing and cooking and cleaning and doing all these different things. And the other one is just sitting there listening to Jesus Christ. I like to be sitting there at Jesus' feet. There's Mary. I just want to hear him all day long. It was weird. I was a weird little kid. I would go to my elders and to family members' houses that were a lot older and just sit and listen to stories. Is that a weird thing to do as a kid? I don't know, but I learned a lot. Can we do the same thing and sit at the Lord's feet? What do you think? Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. Resist the devil. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you think that you can resist the devil? Jesus Christ was tempted, and he was physically weak because he did not eat food for 40 days. And he was able to resist the devil just by using the word. How many of you think that you can resist the devil? Don't forget, we have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Don't forget, Jesus Christ already made us conquerors in him. Don't forget that we can turn to him at any moment in time. So, God always makes a way for us to escape when there is temptation and lust and things that are in that way. So just remember, when sin comes knocking at your door, God gives us an opportunity every single time that we can escape. And we can choose him instead of choosing other stuff. I'm going to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can resist the devil. Realize the work that Jesus Christ has already done. The things that Jesus has done for you. The things that he is doing in you and through you right now. The Holy Spirit of God is amazing, and he dwells within us. He teaches us the right ways. Again, we said basic instructions before leaving earth. If we abide by and listen to what the Word of God says, there are so many promises that are for us. And I'll tell you, one of them that is above so many things is peace. This world is lacking so much peace. But yet, we can have peace that is overflowing if we just turn over to the Lord Jesus Christ and draw nigh to him. John chapter 16, verse 16:33 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Don't you know that Jesus is with you? He's for you. He said he never leave you nor forsake you. The problem is that we need to draw nigh to him because we turn away from him. We take our eyes off of him. Just like Peter walking on the water. Permit me to come and to meet you there on the water. All right, come on out, Peter. He starts walking, and then the wind starts blowing and he gets splashes in his face and it's getting a little boisterous out there, and he stops looking at Jesus and he looks into the water. And don't you know, he starts to sink. If we're sinking, cry out unto him, Jesus, save me. Jesus, please save me. Because he will save you. And finally, draw nigh unto God, verse 8, James 4, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. And all of this is to say this simple phrase in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And what is he going to do? He shall lift you up. My brothers and sisters, this is a brand new year for us. And as Pastor Tito has said, you know, are we those that make resolutions that we won't keep? This is not a resolution for us to make. This is a daily life choice. Will you humble yourself before Almighty God?